Hi. Hello, can you hear me? I'm not sure it works. Okay, it seems you can hear me fine. At least it works first try. I'm quite impressed. So I will begin. I will re read your questions later. So today I will talk about how to complicate things in project management. About me. I'm an old school sysadmin since more than 10 years. I am a member of the OpenBSD project. I'm contributing to many open source projects. Lately, I'm working a bit on the geeks Linux distribution because it's quite enjoyable, and I have a few projects hosted at Bitrage. I am presenting on Bitrage since for 3 years or four, I can't really remember. And I just copy paste this from last year. I solve problems like in Pulp Fiction. So today I will show how you can complicate everything for everyone. So we will see there are a few ways to sabotage everything. First, you can do that by processes. If you are someone who have some decision power, this is really effective. It's an opportunity for you to shine and ruin people's time very efficiently. On the other hand, you can also use software if you are a software engineer, and you can recommend or you have to set up some services. You can pick which software you want, and we will see you have a lot of choice in that software category to make things worse for everyone. And finally, you have a lot of nonsense choice. But I won't speak about this one because I don't want to lose my mind sanity. So, in regards to processes, this one is easy, but you can schedule a lot of meetings for all your team. This one is famous. I guess everyone is hit by many, many meetings that comes out of nothing. It's really obvious. You can waste people time very easily, but you can easily be spot that you want to make everyone angry at you. An effective way to use it is to schedule meetings that come every week. For one topic, and you need all the teams available. You don't need one person of each team, you need everyone of every team. The more people you have in a meeting, the more ineffective it will be, because everyone will have some useless opinion about something. Nobody will have a decision power for that meeting, so everyone will speak and no action will be taken, so you just success at wasting everyone's time. You can work forwarding, not like packets, because when you forward packets, at least you are doing something effective. But what I call work forwarding is just when you get some work, you tell you are too busy And you pass it to someone else in your team, and you just say, I don't really know that topic. I think you know better than me. I'm totally underwhelmed and I can't work on it. You could try to say, I don't like it, please help me. From my experience, I've seen some case in which someone asking a question by email passed through like 10% and finally go back to you. So you literally have to answer to yourself your own question. So in the team, everyone was a very nice specialist about this technique. Now, let's be serious. You can make things tedious for your team, but that will require some work from you. Let's say you work in the software development place and you tell your coworkers that now for every commit, you need a checklist that starts with send an email to ask for the right to make a merge request on the Git forge. Then make your merge request with a very specific template that you hide somewhere, like on a Samba server requiring a VPN to access. And obviously, you have to change the template regularly so people don't copy it locally. Then you need approval from many people from various teams. So the person will have to poke everyone to ask for some time to view your work and say, okay, it's fine, you can merge. Then you can still go on Madness, and once the merge request is done, ask the person to send an email for confirming about the merge request, because maybe this could be made automatic. But you certainly don't want everything from that Git forge like GitLab. You only want a personal mail from the person to be sure the work is done. And finally, ask for checking the task in a to-do list in some task management tool like RightMind, for instance. I really encourage you to use your imagination for this. There are literally no limits to bullet list in the process. You can make it as long as you want. You can make it as stupid as possible. There are no limits, and that's a great way to see if your coworkers are very kind to you. Enable entropy. This one is hard to explain, but when you have no idea, you can just use DICE to prepare planning and assign tasks to your team with some randomness in it. I think you can really boost your coworker motivation if you tell them that they will have to work on the task X every Monday of odd weeks, but not if that week's number is an odd, is a prime number. When you put such policies in place, you can then blame people if they don't respect the rules. You can imagine very, very complicated rules, like with a script. Every week, you assign people randomly to long-term projects, so they never know in advance which week they will work on which topic. This is really nice because people can see other people's work. This avoids Non-commented code. I really recommend this way to work. Now we will talk about software. So software as a dependency. This one quite obvious, but if you use a very broad software that you absolutely can't escape them, it's very nice. Some example would be to use a long spreadsheet that only works in Excel in Office Online. So this could be a very long planning with multiple years of assignment of task for a lot of people. So you have column from A to A Z. If it happens in a web browser, that will be even longer to load. It's perfect, so nobody will want to complain about your planning assignment. You can get bonus point if you have people to use a virtual machine to use that software. Really, I think there are nothing worse than having to rely on a virtual machine on your own workstation to do the job. In some cases, you can ask if you have some archaeologists in your team. You could want to use some very good software that was available 10 years ago, like GTK1 stuff or Windows 98. So you will have to find someone who know how to run it. You may certainly have some issue with format conversion. You will certainly have issue with running the operating system, like if you want some encryption that won't work at all. This could be even worse if this requires a specific workaround to access remotely. Like you only need one thing on one VM in a data center, but people have to access it through VNC access. But you can add VPN. Adding VPN and VPN over SSH over VPN, you can just stack every layer infinitely. You can say it's for security. So it's really easy when you want to make everyone's people life very angry. Because a bad manager can't stop at using old software, you can also rely on very recent software. I found Node.js software very good at this. In the web market, you can really find libraries or tools that will change every week that you will re require new version every week. New version may lack features, introduce new features, compatibility change, many issue. This is important to introduce issue because your team need to stay sharp in regards to tech skills. I'm a bit lost in my notes. Yes, when you use bleeding edge software, you may also encounter issue when you want to deploy in production if you are not managing the whole stack of the environment, because as a dear node developer, you use the latest node version. And obviously, when you want to deploy, the admin will tell you, I have a 6 months old stable node version. I can't do anything more. And then you will have a dilemma, because on the other hand, on one hand, you have a software that works with latest node. On the other hand, you can't use it on production. So it's a good idea to waste time finding issue for this. Everyone have too many times on their hand. You can introduce time loss with this. You can also jump from hype to hype. It's a hype upper. It's not like using bleeding edge. Hype to hype is more like changing your whole stack every 6 months, because as a good manager, you assist to commercials meetings, and you will be explained that the new stack is 2000% more efficient than the previous one. So that would be insane to stay with the old stack and lose all that efficiency. Especially if you get that 2000% every 6 months, you can easily imagine all the time lost if you have a 2 years stack. And you can be absolutely sure that your team will be very happy to follow you in your choice and learn new tech and be proficient on the market. Now we come to the cloud. So this is a huge topic for 15 years now. So when you use cloud, you need to pick a slow cloud. We are not in a tornado. We want slow cloud. It's important. Everyone is happy with a 10-second delay instant messaging. You absolutely need delay. We have to live with our time. More delay is nice because you have to think. You know that if you write, the person will have to wait anyway to receive, so you can just take your time to think. It's a huge benefit. It's not really easy to find a slow service, but if you host it yourself, just rent a server on the other side of the planet. So if you are in Europe, you can take a server in Australia or Japan. You will have half second delay to reach that server. So this introduce a very nice delay, and some peering are very bad with those far, far away servers. You can easily achieve few seconds for each packet to reach them. Rely on the unreliable one. You can read news, tech news, and you can easily find new services online. And it's important to switch as soon as possible as a new service is online, because like for the hype to hype jump, if you use a new service, it will be a lot better than the previous one. You absolutely don't have to take account of the time to migrate from one to another, because the new one is so better than the previous one. Then you absolutely need to do the jump. Because it's new, you will have a beta header on it, but they say they are the best, so they upgrade every day, they add new features every day, they remove features every day, so you want absolutely something that you can't rely on because it keeps people moving. It's a brain gymnastic. This one, I think this one make people angry when you think about it. When you switch to cloud, it's a very nice opportunity to lose rights on your data. But not only rights, but you have no idea where they're stored. You don't know how good the backups are. In some cases, you can't even make the backups yourself correctly. Maybe you could just get a dump of some information, but you can't just take a dump and then restore everything. As a bonus point, you may have to change your file format to fit in the new cloud service. So you need to add some conversion process. When you have conversion, often you also have data loss because if you have 100 or 1,000 of files, you can't check them all by hand, so you can really expect data loss. It's really important to have data loss because you then can be proved, yeah, you are acting badly. Finally, we can use hooks and connectors. This is a cherry cake, the cherry on the cake. When you have many cloud services, you want them to communicate, to exchange data between them. It's really important to get a notification on your team messaging system to know about endless, useless operation between some clouds, to show how all your new setup is inefficient. You absolutely need some hooks like this. I think it's all for the cloud and software part. I said I won't talk about nonsense because I would have to twist my mind, and this is not really something I want to do today. So, how to fight back? No, I am not a manager anymore, but I'm someone who have to suffer from complication. So the important thing is to say no. You absolutely have a right to say no to stupid idea. You are certainly the one who will have to cope the most with the stupid ideas. Work is like a third of your days in the week. You certainly don't want to suffer a third of your days every day. It's important to say no because if you don't say no, people will think you agree with everything. So saying no is a start. Saying no with arguments is better than a start. If you have meetings, something easy is to ask people if they really need you. because most of the time they don't need you. If there are already many people from your team, you could just skip the meeting because you very rarely need everyone from a single team. If the meeting asks for someone to represent opinion, you certainly don't want to have everyone from the same team to have their same opinion. Also, I would recommend avoiding meetings that come every week that have no really purpose or that are just to talk and spend time because you don't need them. Except if you enjoy the topic or that you really don't want to work. That's a great way to just sit and relax and do something else while some people speak about something you don't care. You can also spot the risk and warn early about what's going on. Sometimes, even more often, bad decisions are taken by someone who doesn't ask permission to do something because they can have the legitimacy to do that thing. But if you warn that person responsible, like that manager's manager, you could warn and tell something is wrong, something is going to happen, and this doesn't have to happen. This is a bad thing. I will think, for example, at giving all your data to the cloud. This has really important consequences that must be thought very carefully. Finally, you can just leave. I see no reason to suffer from bad choice. Unfortunately, it's not always easy to leave. But if everyone is accepting to suffer and deal with bad decisions, that will continue. So leaving is a good option. I think in IT, finding a job is really easy these days if you are good. So, leaving is a good way to leave the crap behind you. Conclusion to stay in time. I bet you went through one of items I list today. I hope you can do something about it, and I hope I make you smile. It's important to keep the fight against nonsense every day. You can't never give up. You may think it's a lost cause, but it's not really a lost cause. Most of the time, people think they are doing something for a good reason, and it's important to come with arguments and say they take bad decisions, and you have to explain why. And if they can't understand, you can't do much about this. So this is the end of my talk about how to complicate things in project management. So I see a question from 20H. Do you have a benchmark list of slow clouds? I think all clouds are slow.